This is Power Athlete Radio. With your hosts, Denny K, Professor Booty, and the Luke Summers. And now, toes forward, hips locked, shoulders set, and retract those scapulas. It's time for some knowledge bombs.
What's up, Power Athlete Nation? Welcome to episode 59 of Power Athlete Radio. I'm excited about this one. I got the Power Athlete coaches, Tex, Luke, and Callie. How you guys doing?
We are crushing it.
Excellent.
Doing great, thank you.
In fuego, literally.
In fuego.
Literally? I don't think you know what literally means.
Nick Cage.
I don't even know what in fuego means.
In fuego, like Nick Cage in that motorcycle movie.
On fire.
What was that movie? Danny, you know that movie.
That one movie about that guy.
Ghost Rider.
Ghost Rider.
Hey, I will say this. I watched Con Air for the first time last night.
The first time? What the fuck?
Okay, warning. Yes.
Oh my God.
We're
that
gonna
is
talk
a
over
great...
each other. It's going to be loud.
Nick Cage kind of rocking the mullet.
That Dude, is my... a great movie.
Whoa. What?
And an Alabama accent.
Put the bunny back in the box. Dude, that movie is
I loved Con Air.
Terrible. The only good thing about that movie is Malkovich and Buscemi are totally awesome.
That's fucking Gavin Green.
Yeah,
that's Gavin Green, man.
I can't believe that, Tex.
I can't believe it either. I actually like that movie, which is even more unbelievable.
No, I like the movie.
it's so good.
It's terrible.
But the band of characters is outrageous.
I wanted to avoid this so we can get right into it, but too bad.
It's
I saw a link of, speaking of Nick Cage, he was at maybe a Guns N' Roses show or something. He was at some rock show and he was wearing a t-shirt with his own face on it, like with a crazy face. And
what?
A pimp hat with a pimp cane and leather pants and was on stage. I'm going to post it in the show notes because it was amazing.
Are you sure it wasn't John Travolta posing as Nick Cage?
I don't know. After Face Off, I don't know.
You guys ever see Kiss of Death?
No.
Where he bulks up, puts on a few pounds of muscle?
Maybe.
I think his name is like Little Junior.
Who are you talking about?
Nick Cage. It's like remake of some freaking like mob movie, but
what's the name of it again?
Kiss of Death.
I thought you were talking about Con Air because he's pretty jacked in Con Air too.
He's bigger in this movie.
Yeah.
I heard he was falling field.
Samuel Jackson's in it. David Caruso.
Oh God.
Yeah.
David Caruso. Oh my God.
Horatio.
Oh my God. We got to get that movie. I'm buying that movie today.
Yeah, Kiss of Death. I remember hearing like him talk about that role. He hired a personal trainer, like all freaking Hollywood, you know, and he talked about how he had to eat like 8 to 9 meals a day to put on the muscle that he carries. But he's like 20 pounds, at least 20 pounds heavier than what he looks like in Con Air.
Okay, so I know we have one viewer right now, but that viewer has to go and Google crazy Nick Cage faces and go to Google Images. Crazy Nick Cage faces.
All right. Can we get started?
It has been done.
This is why I didn't want to go live. That one person, you're welcome. All right, we got to get that movie, write that down. We'll put all this stuff in the show notes. Let's get to business. Let's talk training. Let's make this a value-add experience for our listener.
I promise there's good stuff in store.
Yeah.
Well, all right. All right, here you go. I wanted to ask you guys your opinion on this, and maybe you can give me some good feedback. But I have a girl. She's coming from a CrossFit. She's been with us for a year, I'd say, in, you know, CrossFit, kind of more of a strength bias CrossFit football template.
Is she a girl or a woman?
She's a woman. I think, you know, I can't tell women's ages anymore.
Really?
You know what I mean? I'm going to guess she's in her late 20s.
Okay.
And I hope when she hears this, she doesn't tell me she's like 21. You know what I mean? But that's my luck. I think women who are, I won't even go there. I'll just stop right there.
That's good. That's good.
She's going from CrossFit into, she wants to compete in weightlifting. And I based it, this for first competition is about 3 weeks away, June 28th. So have you guys had experience as far as like coaching somebody or training somebody from that kind of a background? Or can you kind of like give me some pointers as to maybe what to expect or, you know, what I should do maybe to kind of help this girl, you know? I mean, yes, we did, or we do at least only work, you know, 3 times a week, I guess. So that's kind of a little bit of her background.
So this is, I mean, it's a common theme, common transition, because people are introduced to Olympic lifting for the first time with CrossFit. And then, I mean, their squats go up, their deadlifts go up, but then their cleans, they hit, just hit a plateau, same with their snatches. So then they kind of, they don't want to suck. So they kind of take into the sport of Olympic weightlifting. They get a coach like Denny because they want to improve. So we've seen a lot of this, and we found some common limiting factors. One of them is just kind of stability with the bar overhead, whether it's in a finished jerk position. Next one is a rack position, and then transitioning from the rack to a powerful split jerk or push jerk. And then we got the rate of force development, which we're going to talk a lot about today. So that's kind of your central nervous system and its efficiency. So how much power, how much force can you generate in an instant versus over 8 minutes, over 10 minutes, over a minute 47 grace PR. So that's one of the biggest things. So Luke, you see, Callie, you see any other limiting factors with your athletes?
One of the things that you can't really measure, which is her ability to perform at that first meet. I mean, we talked about this in past episodes regarding powerlifting competitions as well. And just like prepping your athlete for the intensity, the emotional intensity, the psychological intensity that occurs, the nervousness that is hard to replicate. I know that some of the gyms that I've been involved with have done mock meets about a week or 2 weeks beforehand to prepare the athlete. And there are, there'll be attendees and people watching, spectators to prep them. And they even do like, they even dress. So they'll wear the singlet and everything is the same. So they're trying to prepare for the situation and all the other conditions and variables that are involved with a meet that are, you know, kind of add stress. So, I mean, in terms of physical limitations, certainly Tex, you hit those, but you know, you do want to replicate like that, mm-hmm. that sort of psychological intensity if you can.
And then, yeah. And then bridging the gap between both of those two is you only have to do one, you know, and coming from the high rep submaximal approach, like having that mindset that this is one and done, it's time to go for it, it's all or nothing, rather than kind of leaving one in the tank and just training with that mentality so it carries over to competition day.
Yeah.
But
Denny, have you assessed her limiting factors? I mean, where does she stand right now? And I know you guys only have 3 weeks to go, but I mean, how's she looking? What are you seeing?
Oh, you know what? She has had some weightlifting before. When she came to A3 like a year ago, she had some experience as far as like, she actually has competed in a weightlifting meet before. She came to us because we tend to weightlift a little bit more than some of the other boxes in our area. And so then got into the more of the CrossFit-y thing, wants to go back into more of the, you know, get more specific. So what I've seen with her is like a weaker upper back. She can get the weight overhead in the snatch, and then it'll start to break. And in the clean and jerk, I've seen her get some good clean. She's going to compete at like the 44 kilo weight class. So she's little. And we're talking maybe 45 kilos, what, 130 pounds? She'll stand up with that or try to stand up with it. And then the upper back rounds, the elbows drop. And it's just like pure, you know, she told me that she was in a car accident a few years ago. So she's had a serious back injuries, injury. But I think, you know, we're 3 weeks away. And what I've had her do is like some old school bodybuilding as well. She did some dumbbell rows. I had her do like a bent over row. Right. So when we first, like the first thing we tried to do was like a Penlay row. And this is when it really became evident to me of that weakness, when it really stood out. It was hard for her to keep like a 90 degree or a parallel chest to the floor and row the barbell. She had to kind of get up to maybe 70 degrees to, you know, more like Dorian Yates barbell row style. And she was able to roll the bar that way. But it was hard for her to hold you know, anything deeper of a position like that with her back.
So here's the thing with, I've trained a couple athletes that have had lower back injuries, fused discs or fused vertebrae, slip disc, stuff like that. And, you know, the proverbial saying, like the backbone of an organization, of a team or whatever, you know, people really tend to baby their back because it's such a scary injury. So part of it could be a little bit psychological, Denny, but at the end of the day, the injury, you need to attack that injury. And then, you need to really build some stability in there. So when you're going with that classic bodybuilding template and you're strengthening that system, that upper back, that's great. But what you have to remember is through the movement pattern of a snatch or an Olympic lift, you're not really getting any protraction, retraction. You're in an isometric hold through that shoulder girdle to maximize force transfer into that bar. So what you're going to want to focus on is maybe like absolutely keep the rows coming, barbell, dumbbell, kettlebell, sandbag, I don't care. But try to get some isometrics in there as well.
So before isometrics, I would even start with some body awareness. So I'm a big fan of the Jimmy Buffett. Any athlete that's ever worked with me knows I just love that exercise. So I love it for the bench press, the deadlift. And if she's having issues with kind of strength and holding, make sure that if you're going to apply isometrics, she actually gets in the expected position to make it work. So it's not just holding for holding's sake. She's holding the proper position.
What position you think, like the beginning of the second pull, right where like force ends and you want to transition into velocity?
Well, more specifically, it's shoulder girdle position.
Okay.
So, yes. So like if you were to smash your hands together, just like we were performing a Jimmy Buffett,
sure.
And spread those fingers apart and try to retract and depress as much as you can, it should put you in that neutral shoulder position. So that's the position she needs to learn how to use with her hands in a horizontal position, vertical position, at her sides, out to her sides. But so you remember Jimmy Buffett, right, Denny?
Of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Fins to the left, fins to the right.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, there are a ton of isometric things. Like once she's acquired that body awareness, assuming she is not, you know, fully synced up as it stands right now, but there's a ton of isometrics she can do. I mean, Luke and I have discussed, like, she can do isometric holds on like a GHD, like hold a back extension and then give her some dumbbells and have her hold for 20 seconds in a rowed position at the top of a row, right? So that's gonna really, really give her that muscle endurance as well as kind of build that thickness in her back that she needs. I mean, I don't know, how many pull-ups does she have right now, strict pull-ups?
I'd say three or four.
Three or four, and she's pretty lightweight. She needs to get like 8 to 10. Mm-hmm. And even if that means that you're putting one hand between her shoulder blade so that she's in the absolute best position, have her hold, just give her some minimal assistance there. I mean, she can do isometric holds there once she accumulates a few more pull-ups. And then, you know, things like getting her in that snatch position, her starting position, her setup, and, you know, putting maybe 110% on the bar or 115% of the bar of what she could do, and have her just hold that retraction and that really engaged position, that starting position of her snatch, and then relax and kind of rinse and repeat for equal work rest or whatever, and have that be part of her warm up so that when she goes to tear that bar off the ground in her working sets, she knows the position she needs to be in. Not only is it a good confidence builder, but she knows the amount of force that's really necessary to create, you know, efficiency and energy transfer to that barbell. I mean, it's not just, am I depressed? Are my shoulder blades depressed, retracted? It's, am I able to create force in this position?
And you think the best, or I think it's now, we're like 3 weeks away, definitely adding in those isometrics, which are great. That's great advice. That is something that I'm not doing, you know.
And the caveat there, Denny, is just like Tech said, you know, don't assume that the isometrics, just because she's in the position and holding, make sure she knows how to organize and hold and utilize the musculature we're trying to tap into. So that's where you get in that shoulder girdle prep. Tex just wrote an article a week or two ago on this, and, you know, we'll link that up to the show notes. But be sure that she's just not holding for holding's sake.
And then the last point would just be, obviously, when you're testing these things and she comes in the next day, she can't be trash. You know what I mean? You don't, obviously, you want to temper this accordingly as you approach the meet. That should go without saying. So she's not just, I mean, because it's isometric holds can trash you. So just be careful with that.
Take it easy. What do you think? Like right now, we've had three times a week, you know, say like Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We thought about maybe getting in like a fourth day, being that we're 3 weeks away. So if I'm going to say I do have her for 4 days, two sessions working some isometric work and then two sessions not? Do you think she needs like three?
You can mix in some isostability every single day. I would just switch the primals and the planes of movement. So you can go horizontal pull, and then you can go vertical pull. You can go horizontal above head. So you can just make her catch a snatch or catch a jerk. And then she's got to hold and maintain that posture and position with the weight overhead stable. So find different ways to mix it up. It doesn't have to be just isos today. You can spread those isos throughout your 3 to 4 sessions.
Work them into the warm-ups even, you think, or more like working sets?
Both.
Awesome.
Yeah, the isostability is a great just kind of prep to get everything fire, everything in sync, and give her body the expectation of you got to split jerk this and be able to hold it long enough where you can step your feet together. So you're priming, preparing her body for the training and eventually competition.
I've also noticed when she goes into the second pull and starts to get more at that upright torso angle, that's when she'll really, or no, I'm sorry, before she gets to the upright torso angle, say where the bar's at like mid femur, that's where she starts bending the elbows to bring that bar, you know, brushing her, the top of her femur kind of a thing.
Yeah.
But I usually see it more when the athlete's more vertical is when I tend to see elbow break. Does that tell you anything? Because
it tells me that she has terrible technique, and I'm sorry if she's listening, but yeah, I mean, obviously that's a technique issue. She's trying to muscle the bar up and Denny, you gotta get her to do some snatch pulls or clean pulls, or depending on what movement it is. I mean, you've got to get her to just be patient with her arms and really, really be explosive with her lower body.
Keep it extended till you're at the top.
Yeah, just train. Yeah, train her to be patient with those arms. And, you know, what Tex was saying, I had the experience of, you know, being coached by Coach B, and in all of my warm-up sets, it surprised me because, you know, we always think about train fast, be fast. Well, in all of my warm-up sets and even a few of my working sets when I was doing snatches at his place in San Diego, he was having me hold the bottom of my snatch for up to 10 seconds, and that's a long time. So I was doing an isometric hold there until he was, you know, plenty happy with my shoulder girdle position and that I could feel and be comfortable loading my system with that barbell where it is. Cause, you know, for coming from a power snatch background with CrossFit football, we're just, you know, we catch, it's solid and we stand up with it quickly. You know what I mean? There's a lot less going on in terms of torso angle and other variables that could potentially throw that barbell out of alignment. And so he spent plenty of time with all the athletes there, having them hold that bottom position. And that's something that I would probably encourage you to incorporate with this chick, is just have her in her warm-up sets, you know, make that be, like Tech said, as one of the tools to train that shoulder girdle, have her hold for 10 seconds, you know?
To kind of piggyback off that is a lot of Olympic lifting is force, your muscles are being force reducers. So you're catching and absorbing that force and stopping the force you produced. So I know a lot of coaches, especially guys I run into at college, all they care about is the concentric movement. Just produce force. When we need to focus on catching and receiving forces on the field and in Olympic weightlifting, that's catching the bar, receiving it in whether it's the bottom of a snatch or a power position, and then worrying about standing up with it in the overhead squat or front squat. So that's kind of what Coach P was getting at with Callie, is she's catching in that position. She's reducing the force, stabilizing herself, isometrically holding, and then proceeding through the movement.
What? Yeah, Denny, you got to work on that elbow thing with her, though.
But there's people who just do it. I mean, they're like natural benders. I mean, I've tended to do that every now and then. I mean, yeah, I can say, you know, keep the chain extended, or this is how you tow it. You know, if you're towing a car with a chain, every link's got to be extended. That's, your arms are just links.
Right. But even, you know, from watching her, that she was bending her arms too early. Cause you said that, right? You said that seemed low on the femur, et cetera.
I thought maybe that was a sign of the weaker back, you know, having to pull that bar to your torso more so you can use your torso, to get vertical and back.
It probably is. It's probably a combination of, it's like a chicken egg scenario. The weaker the back, she bends the arms early, but now that she's bending the arms, her back isn't getting any more powerful. And at this point, if she's done it rep for rep for rep over and over again, this has just become habitual. So trying to get her to break that habit.
Yeah, she doesn't do it like when you warm up. It's when the weight gets challenging.
Maybe it's even weak biceps. So she's trying to overcompensate with those things, so she's bending her elbows. Could be a lot of things.
Right.
So throw some curls at her. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we're discussing over here, guys, real quick. What do you mean by weak biceps?
Well, Denny, have you ever done any bicep training with her?
What?
I have. I've done that actually.
Okay, thank God.
You know, kind of going, and if anybody's seen like the Field Strong program and seen how John will write in extra credit, you know, I kind of used some of that for a cycle with the CrossFit class. I had those guys doing like, and it was funnier than hell because the first day I said, okay, let's do like four sets of max rep, you know, dumbbell hammer curls, and they got dumbbells in their hands. It's like they didn't even know what to do with them. Because, you know, CrossFitters don't work on their biceps.
Whatever. I just got goosebumps.
So it was funny. But, yeah, that was like the start of that. And we have had a couple sessions where I've had her do some bicep curls, just kind of going off of what we talked about that, you know, many episodes ago when Klokoff and Ilya Illin and that other guy were going around to CrossFit gyms, you know, doing their Kings of Prussia tour. You know, they were pretty much telling everybody that they need to get their biceps bigger.
We've been saying that for years.
Well, you guys are way ahead of the curve. Everybody's just kind of catching up to what you've been doing.
It's like technology, bicep training cyclical. It's out, it's in, it's out, it's in. You know, and I think that Verizon's coming out with a new pager this year.
Are they?
Pagers are back. That's a 912. That's one more than the 911.
Dial-up is also back.
Yeah, modem.
Modem.
But Denny, you think you got, you have a roadmap here for the next 3 weeks?
I do. And I appreciate you guys, you know, your advice on that. And
now taking a more nonlinear approach to this, when's her competition after that?
September.
Whoa. So we got some time to do some damage.
So
it's better than 3 weeks.
What would you say?
It's better than 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're 3 weeks away. We've had a couple weeks of training already, but I was looking for more of, I just started seeing like the limiting factors, and we've started adding in some of these. I was doing more bodybuilding movements. I really hadn't added in a lot of the isometrics.
Mm-hmm. But just think of it this way, right? This is her first competition. She has one set up in September. Use it as a stepping stone to evaluate like the psychological and mental side of it that Callie was talking about. And then a lot of the limiting factors that Tex had pointed out, just in the athlete making the transition from your CrossFit fitness training to a 1RM specified program. So see what tends to fall apart. Maybe bring a camera, film it, right? So you can go down and break it down and film a couple different angles if you can, if you can get a couple people there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So get your side angle, get your front angle, get your three-quarter angle. And then that way you can see where you break down and then and see if you can't just dial in, see if that upper back falls apart, whatever, you know, whatever the case is. And then make the changes. And then the next waypoint is that September competition.
Yeah. What do you think of like star shrug with a snatch grip?
And again, that's purely like concentric. I mean, I think she needs to do some holding, to be honest with you. I just am not convinced, and probably Tex has a little more to say on this too, about just positioning. I think she needs to do some holds, not only to develop that thickness, but it's not the explosive factor, it's the stability factor, right? Stability
factor.
So I think the holds are the best way to go, Denny, to be honest with you. Get her into an optimal position and then have her replicate that over time.
Sure. Cool.
So let's
write that down.
So everyone, all our listeners should write this down. So kind of our stepping stones, our process is mobility, stability. And once we've established those in different positions, then we teach the primals, they show us there. And then we focus on kind of force reduction, muscles as force reduction, then more muscles as force producers, isometric force, protective force, and then we throw those true eccentrics at you.
Now, Tex, are you talking within one training day? That's how you would approach the training day?
How advanced is the athlete? Mm-hmm. So if we're first starting out, no. You need to establish mobility, stability, efficiency in the primals, and then gradually build on force reducers, iso force, protective force. And once that athlete's been there for a while and he shows competence and strength in different positions, throw some true eccentrics.
Like what? When you say true eccentric, what are you referring to? I think it sounds like you're saying like, you know, in the bodybuilding world, like doing negatives, you know, or just freaking, is that what you're talking about?
Drop knowledge, Tex. Every warning, sirens are going off.
Everybody's foaming at the mouth right now.
All two of us, or two of our listeners.
Well, I talked some of it in my premium articles on the pull up, the ankle. And I mean, it's definitely one of our projects to break this down and then deliver it to Power Athlete Nation. So I know Luke and I have been have a lot of conversations about true eccentric movements. Mm-hmm. So wait and see, or check out our articles.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't have to necessarily talk implementation textbook,
but
talk about the muscle contractions.
So also wrote about this. Muscle eccentric is lengthening of the muscle. A true eccentric is where you are trying to hold a contracted, shortened muscle with all your effort, all your might, your damnedest. And then there is a overcoming force that takes that position away. So it lengthens it, and you're trying your damnedest to overcome it. Not control it, overcome it, and it still gets lengthened.
Yep. So like a 5 second lower. You're also squatting, lower the weight for 5 seconds and hold it. Well, or squatting.
Denny, Linda. How many seminars have you been to, amigo? So this is our MR protocol.
We also call it force eccentric.
Or true eccentric loading.
Yeah.
So the accommodating resistance protocols, the hip, butterfly, clamshell, pull up. Remember those, Denny?
Absolutely.
That's what Tex is referring to.
They'll take you to your pain cave.
I don't want to go to the pain cave.
Neither do I, Denny. Sleep in.
But we're there. We're here. We're doing it.
But so Denny, there's some stuff, you know, the MR pull-up protocol would definitely benefit this chick, assuming she's a trained athlete. But you don't just, you got to, like Tex said, there's an order of operations here, which he told everyone to write down.
And don't do it 2 days before a meet.
Right.
So.
Cool. Anywho.
What up? Anywho, what do you guys have coming out of any updates coming out of HQ?
Callie, you're up. Team series.
Team series has been announced, I guess you could say, all over the internet. It's a flurry. I've received numerous text messages.
One from Nick Cage. going back to the opening. Real quick, and totally cutting off Callie.
I don't care.
Phil Tobias said thank you for the Google search because those faces are amazing.
Oh, really? Wow. All right,
let's get back to business.
So we've got the team series coming out and announced the cities that we're going to be in, 5 cities. So the theme this year is we have the Power Athlete Team Series, The Battle, which is going to occur regionally among those 5 cities. And what we're going to do is allow for an RX and a scaled division. It's going to be registration is first come, first serve. We've already had teams register. So that's pretty exciting. And then what we're going to do is take the top 3 teams in the RX division, and those teams will then meet us about a month later in October for the war. So the Power Athlete Team Series, the war, is going to occur in Vegas. So at CrossFit Max Effort. So that's Zach Force gym down there. And we're going to keep an open division for that as well, because we're not having a Power Athlete Team Series in the Southwest region. We're going to allow that to kind of encompass that region. So we'll have an open division of ringers that can come in and see, you know, if they can take on the top 3 teams from around the country. And that's kind of the plan. Now, within each Power Athlete Team Series, we will be running these simultaneously, all on the same weekend. That's September 13th and 14th. And the events will be run all on that same weekend. We're going to have our troops on the ground, basically taking care of these events. We'll have, you know, Luke probably in Chicago. We'll have Tex in probably Baltimore or something. We'll have a few helpers up in Seattle. I don't know where I'll be, somewhere. Seattle, probably.
We're still recruiting.
If I could choose.
Providing assignments.
Yes. So these all run kind of at the same time, and each of the events is going to start with a CrossFit football team total. Something different from years previous is we're going to have 2 men and 2 women. It is not going to be body weight. And then that first event is really going to kick off with the team having to coordinate among themselves who's going to do what lift within the CrossFit football total, which, of course, is the power clean, squat, bench, deadlift. And we're going to have a time cap on that. So the team will have to work together. They'll be given 2 bars, some plates, and, you know, all the other, the bench and the platform and a rack, and they'll have to coordinate how they're going to manage to get as many attempts as they'd like within that time period. But their max lifts are the ones that count. And, you know, that's going to be a huge chunk of what you know, what contributes to their ultimate score. You know, big difference from last year is that this will be a 2-day event. So we'll have three workouts on day one, one of those being the total, and then two on the next day. And, you know, true to Power Athlete methodology, these aren't going to be like, we're not going to trash you with a 20-minute burner with, you know, get 30 muscle ups and
150 air squats.
Yeah, 150 air squats, GHD sit-ups, all that stuff. It's going to be true to what you see on, you know, Field Strong type programming, everything that's true to change direction, lateral, unilateral movements. So
multiple planes of motion.
It's going to be exciting. And I've already, you know, we're in the process of testing some of the workouts ourselves, and I could not be more excited for the uniqueness and, you know, the
foot race,
the way we set ourselves apart from the other, quote unquote fitness competitions. You know, I believe in what we do, and I just want to see, people perform. And I think, you know, the workouts themselves don't have to be about, being bloody on the floor. They can be about like seeing athleticism, seeing good movement. And, most of all, you know, we're just capitalizing shamelessly on the teamwork aspect, which is a very popular thing. And, you know, it's obviously very important in sport communication and being able to use yourself as a specialist, et cetera. So I mean, I'm stoked on it. We're, you know, actively still looking for sponsors, and all that information is going to be sent out for sponsors to kind of latch onto within the next week. So all that's going to be available on the site. If anyone wants to get involved, they can email me directly, Callie@powerathletehq.com. And, you know, if you've got any questions whatsoever, feel free to contact me. But all the details should be, most of the pertinent stuff is there up on the site already. So.
And if you're one of those people who's like, hey, man, this sounds cool, but I don't know if I can handle it. Here's what you need to be able to do. You need to be able to work hard, work as a team, high horsepower, short duration, over and over again. So that's this simple demand of field sports. You need to be able to have that ability to repeat, rinse and repeat that high power output.
I mean, the good thing about this competition is that really anyone can do it. Anyone can do it, but the question is, can you do it well? So for instance, in like a lot of quote unquote fitness competitions, not everyone can do a muscle up. Not everyone can do a handstand walk, you know? And so I think that's what sets us apart. Even though we have an RX and a scaled division based on weights and things like that, you know, everyone is capable of doing what we're asking. It's just some people are going to look a lot sexier doing it than others.
Based on their wardrobe.
And length of hair.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Tex.
Tex is the contender.
Mr. Bieber.
Flo.
Let's see, what else do we have? Tex, what's up with Wade's Army?
Wade's Army, we're going strong. So what has happened is the Ice Bath Challenge has lost momentum. I'm not calling Chad Hamilton or Callie out specifically, but not jumping in the bath yet. But we've grown some legs in just Australia. So we got some hard chargers, boys at CrossFit Coastal Reef have just really come through. So we're looking for a second wave in the United States, and then Luke and I are heading to England. So we're going to start just, if they got an ice bath there, we're going to kick it off in Europe.
English Channel. Hey, I have to tell you something.
Oh, God. She texted me.
I did the ice bath challenge. I swear to God. I did the ice bath challenge in my house. I set my phone up, like, and I pressed record. I did my little thing. There were three bags of ice in my bathtub. I got in, I dunked myself, and I called three people out. And then I stopped recording, and I picked up my phone, and there was a message on my phone. I can send it to you. It said something like
not enough video storage.
And so it only recorded about 2 seconds of the entire video. So
you have to send me that 2 seconds as proof.
Okay, I'll send it to you. And then I took a picture of myself completely drenched in a picture of the ice. But I didn't ever think that you were going to think that that was – I'm still emotionally getting over it because I'm here to tell you, I get it's for charity, but it fucking sucked.
It's fine.
It fucking sucked.
No stingrays in your tub, were there?
I don't know why, but my ankles were so cold.
Because your ankles were cold.
My ankles, which are – if anyone must know, are the thinnest part of my body. They're so dainty and ladylike that they just couldn't handle it. But yeah, so I botched that one. I fucked it up, and it sucked. But I'll have to do it again.
You know what's so crazy is Tex and I were talking to Chad Hamilton, and that's the exact same story he gave.
What?
Ankles and everything.
No way.
God damn it. And to quote Chad Hamilton, my ankles are the most slender part of my body. They're just so dainty. Remember that text?
Lies.
I do. I'll
tell you my excuse.
Yeah, but Chad did start his fundraising page today, so he's all out of excuses. He's got to film it and get it going. But I'm just talking with Kate and Heather, so we're going to just keep moving forward, and then I've been posting some stories that people have been sending us on the Ways Army Facebook page. So other families that have been suffered and wanted to share their story, you can find those on Wade's Army Facebook page.
Awesome. It's time to get – I got to get in John's, like, horse trough bath thing.
Yeah.
And then someone else has to film it, and then someone has to film that person filming that. We just need – I need, like, satellite images. I don't want this to fuck up again because, honestly, my ankles can't take it.
Bathception.
Bathception.
A bath within a bath.
Oh, I had it all planned out, too. I had three people that I wanted to call out. But anyway, I think that's all on our end. Get Denny, are you going to sign up for the team series, or do you have a team in mind?
I do have a team in mind, and you know I'm going to sign up for the team series.
Yep.
We got a fucking – we were so close to going to the finals last year. I mean, that's left a bad taste in my mouth, and it's Vegas or nothing. So
Vegas or nothing. So, yeah, I should mention that the October 11th and 12th event, that is Columbus Day weekend, which sounds weird to say day weekend, but it is. And
there's one extra day.
I think I've mentioned.
And?
Oh, Michelle Obama's going to be there.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's going to be at the event, and Avicii's going to be there. And I know I keep saying this, but they haven't said no, so I feel like they're going to be there. What?
Logic is sound.
Needless to say, it's going to be a good weekend, so if people want to make it like a little vacay.
And listen, people, if you're on the East Coast – near Massachusetts, we're at Reebok CrossFit 1 for a seminar on the 28th and 29th. Then also in Mishawaka, South Bend, Indiana with Carl Case, the miniature version of the Hulk, both the same weekend on June 28th and 29th. We have seminars out there. Get signed up before it's too late. And then we're back with Professor Booty in August in Georgia. So that's our upcoming seminars. Get on the site, crossfitfootball.com, get registered because that's happening. And then this weekend, Tex and I are crossing the pond, and we're gonna have some tea and biscuits. What do they have? Crumpets?
They call them biscuits.
Is it a biscuit?
Yeah, they call them biscuits.
Yeah, we're gonna have some tea and biscuits in London.
But you're also doing crossing
some warm beer.
No, wait. Tex is doing it. I just have some tea.
Yep.
But no, we're excited for that. We got like 20 souls. Maybe
are you guys gonna
souls
see Harry out there?
Yeah, Harry is the.
Yeah.
What he's like?
Harry's my boss.
Harry's odds.
Harry Heppenstall is my boss.
All the visuals. Callie's most fit. We have to get you like a 10-foot poster of the Power Athlete Team Series this year.
I know it's okay. Okay, so this is nobody. If you care about substantive information, just stop listening now. Yeah, but
this is all worth.
Like honestly, I can't even tell you how excited I am about the Team Series images this year because I love space. I don't really know how to say that eloquently, but like I fucking love space. And Harry came up with the coolest image. I don't think he even knew or cared to really take in my personal interest, but he happened to come up with that image with Earth, the moon behind it, and just like it just looks so badass. So thanks to Harry for that. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna blow it up and put it all over my my bedroom ceiling.
And I guess just to get like Harry, just to remove the mystery, he's the guy who does all the branding for us, and he contacted us, and he's a loyal power athlete follower, and but we're always over email or over Skype, and it's never easy with an 8 to 9 hour time difference. And Tex and I have 3 days set aside to just sit there and scheme, and hopefully what comes out of that is some fast tracked updates to the site, to everything else that's going on.
It's probably going to be more arguing and knowing everyone around us.
Yeah, because Harry has this philosophy, brand philosophy, and then I just like to disagree for the sake of disagreeing.
I've never heard anyone use the word scheme to describe 3 days of just getting drunk.
Scheming. What, you are you sober?
I mean, we're going to be scheming commercial for 3 days. Like... I'm going to scheme so hard.
I'm sober. I'm never drinking again. Let's see. What else? Okay, so we're off the useful information. What other stuff could we
talk about? I'll tell you, talking about the mental approach in first Olympic meets, Callie and I actually competed in our first Olympic meet together way back when.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
And
Tex forgot his singlet.
We coached each other, so we had to set each other's weights, and we shared a singlet, and...
We do. We're going to have to get that picture because Tex either didn't own one and didn't tell me, but he straight up asked if he could borrow my women's medium singlet.
No, but serious question. How hard was it to lift with two people in one singlet?
We set a PR. Male-female division.
Did Callie wear it, and then you, or did you wear it, and then
she wore it? Dude, I fucking wore it first.
I thought you were wearing it at the same time.
No.
And I was wondering if you guys went like belly to back, no, or back to back.
No, I got it.
Or belly to belly.
I got it. You're like Siamese, side to side.
I'll tell you this.
So she hands you this sweaty...
Denny, how dare you? It was not sweaty at all.
It was glowing.
Just the armpits.
Just the pits were.
This perfume smelling, what color was it?
Navy blue.
Navy blue. So, but I had to catch everything in a power position because honest to God, if I was going to catch in the bottom of that squat, my ass was coming out.
It's true. It's
what
true.
Was your limiting factor that day? My singlet size.
Stretch. To be fair, honestly, we both actually did power versions of the lifts, mainly because we were doing CrossFit football, and I didn't know how the fuck to do full versions of the lift. But that was a fun event.
I think both of us got a medal, and we wore it to the bar. We did wear it to the bar that night.
Yeah, and the I remember I had to make weight, which is outrageous, but I had to make weight. I think it was like 140 pounds or something. And I as soon as I was done lifting, I just grabbed a bag of chips and I just started eating. And I know it was like sweet potato chips, but then
You just crush them up and drink them.
Then the event was concluding, and I had no idea that I would receive a medal. And so when they called me up there, I was so excited that I ran up there, but I still had the bag of chips in my hand. So I look like a complete asshole with chips in my hand and probably on my face.
Chip face, that'll happen.
So that's it.
You know, when I competed in my first Olympic weightlifting competition, I didn't even wear it. I was the only one not wearing a singlet.
Just nude it up?
I went out there in freaking...
birthday suit.
Yeah, in a Speedo. In my freaking shoes.
I think we just lost listeners.
I don't know what I'd look like in a singlet, honestly. I don't like them.
Like a demigod.
Like a demigod? I don't know.
Like a denigod.
Denigod, I said.
like a denigod. You know... Do I rock the t-shirt and the singlet, or do you just go singlet and show some chest hair and back hair?
Oh my God.
It depends how much hair you have.
Shoulder hair? I mean, if I don't shave.
So if you look like a honey badger, like Tex or Spray.
No, maybe not just Sasquatch.
Maybe you just keep like a compression shirt on. All right. But
no.
Don't get like a 3X shirt that's all baggy and hanging out the side.
No. Listen, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. Listen. If you're a man, you don't wear a fucking shirt, okay? you have to own whatever body hair situation you have going on, because there's nothing that reeks worse in a singlet than a lack of confidence. Callie Hinsman.
How do you determine the proper color?
I don't know. I like
whatever grab.
No, that's premium content. I'm not going to just give that out to the public.
I mean, flesh-colored is always preferable.
We have the most amount of viewers when we're talking about fucking nothing. All right.
It's accidental. It's aimless clicking.
I think we are. Yes. Wrong Google search. I think we're at the end. I think we're probably about 45, 50 minutes, and it's 12:15, and I got stuff to do.
Yeah. So.
Watch Nick Cage clips on YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah, we got them queued up.
Yeah, I have three of them, and it's going to take at least 6 hours. But all right, guys, good show. I think that was actually, I'll be honest with you, didn't have a lot of faith in today. Wasn't expecting a good one, but I think we put down a good one. We laid down a solid track.
You're welcome.
Good job, team.
All right, we'll see you in hell.
All right, guys, see you. Tech, cool. See you on the other side, buddy.
Talk to you next week.
See you in England.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.